This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Joy's International Women's Day event. Now we're actually going to move on to a slightly different part of our day. We're actually going to hear from Leanne Lowe, who is a writer. Peril's prose editor Leanne Lowe began her life editing life volunteering for publications for not-for-profit and community orgs. The first short play she wrote, Hyperreality, won her an award and became a vehicle for her coming out to her family as queer and a Victorian Arts Centre audience at the same time. Her writing is also published in When Our Children Come Out, Growing Up Asian in Australia. I'd like to welcome Leanne to the microphone.
Hello, thanks for having me. I also wanted to pay my respects to Annette Givros, who was here before, and to acknowledge the traditional owners, past and present, of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And I was just thinking about the last time that I was holding a microphone, and I was at a spoken word event. Was also when Annette had done a Welcome to Country, and it's such an honor actually, and for that kind of generosity of her to be here. And also for me at the time, it was the first time that I did spoken word, and I was at an event called Dyke World in 2001, and I was shared a stage with an Indigenous Australian poet, Elisa Belair, who's no longer with us, and also Ray Bennett, and Tom Cho. And that event, Dyckwell, was a multicultural and Indigenous spoken word event that was produced by my friend Hinda Ina Burston, incredible poet and writer and academic. So I was just reflecting on that when I was listening to Annette before, and also. So I will read from my extract from my a book that I am in. It's an anthology that's in the VCE high school curricula, and it's called Growing Up Asian in Australia. And I have a story in here, and it's called My First Kiss. So there are different categories, like un-Australian, tall poppies, leaving home. Mine's under the hot. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, 1991. When I was growing up, I never saw people share mouth-to-mouth kisses. Malaysia's censorship laws snipped out tongue kisses, homosexuals, anti-government sentiment, and anything else it deemed offensive. There were no explicit laws against non-Muslims Malaysians kissing and hugging romantically in public. But local bylaws forbidding indecent behaviour could be interpreted to include public displays of affections. For queers, the repercussions were even worse. Homosexuality is still a criminal offence in Malaysia. Maybe it's every other little girl's dream to grow up and have breasts so that they can fill out their frocks. Not me. I envied my father's flat chest and how he could go topless without being self-conscious. Becoming more womanly, I suddenly lost footing in my tomboy world. The dynamics of my friendship with my male playmates changed. I retreated into my own private attic, literally and symbolically. This space existed at the top of my house, away from everyone else. In the first 2 years of high school, I would spend most of my lunchtime in the library, nose in a book, away from the chatter and gossip in the canteen. I was the quiet type who was part of the school chess team, who read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy all in one go. I didn't contribute to the, oh, he's so hot, conversations about New Kids on the Block, Jason Priestley and Luke Perry. Instead, I fancied Mary Stuart Masterson and fantasized about flying like Superman so that I could whisk away the popular girl I had a crush on. We moved to Australia the year I turned 14. On my first day at my Australian high school, the only students who approached me were the other overseas-born Asians. One was a Hong Kong Chinese and the other was a Vietnamese. None of the white kids really took interest in me. I had been placed in the English as a second language ESL class based on the fact that I just arrived in Melbourne. This despite the fact that I'd spoken English all my life and had always done well in English at school. In Malaysia, for 2 years, I had attended a private school at which English was the main written and spoken language. Although there were good things about ESL, the classes were small and I made some good friends, I resented being in a class where I wasn't challenged. I only started to make friends with the non-Asian kids later, after I enrolled in year 11 literature class. I was the only Asian and the only ESL student in the class. One of the highlights of high school for me was walking up to the stage at the end of year ceremony to accept the joint award for the highest marks in year 12 literature. Throughout this time, despite my little friendship posse, I still could not shake my shyness. Although English was the language I spoke in, dreamt in, and created my reality in, I felt a foreigner whenever I opened my mouth. Whenever I spoke, my accent betrayed my origins. It was a mix of a Malaysian lilt, Manglish, TV-influenced Americanisms, the Queen's English, and Australian. Most times the Malaysian lilt was dominant. The Manglish somehow faded away without my notice. I never said mate or how you going or g'day in a stry enough way. I always spoke diffidently. And when I did speak, a barrage of questions would follow. Where are you from? And how long have you been here? My attempts to blend in failed as soon as I opened my mouth. Like most teenage girls, I had long hair, pimples, and too many crushes. Unlike any other girl I knew, my secret crushes were on Linda Hamilton from the Terminator series and Amanda Keller from the Australian Science Show Beyond 2000. I had no one to share these feelings with, and my journal became my best friend. I couldn't imagine feeling this way for a man. It just didn't feel natural. Everyone wants romance in their life. But it's always the same boring guy meets girl Hollywood love formula. I wondered where my story was in these narratives. Where was my fairy tale ending? When I told another girl how much I loved Katie Lang, she asked, "You're not the L word, are you?" Of course I denied it. I guessed my Malaysian badminton buddies wouldn't take so well to it either, or my Malaysian Christian friends. When I was 16, my brother's friend Ken from the chess club we both belonged to teased, "Sweet 16 and never been kissed." Ken was a stereotypical nerd, thick eyeglasses and greasy hair, which was thinning on the crown of his head. Being a bit of a nerd myself, finding a fellow nerd could be quite charming. Unfortunately, Ken was boring, and he wasn't such a crash-hot chess player. Ken took my brother and me out to the Astor Theatre once, and then asked if he could give me a kiss on the cheek when he dropped us home. I said yes, but that was the last time I went out with Ken. 4 years later at university, I orchestrated my first real kiss. I had a short film project to do and I wanted to have a kissing scene in it. My short film was to be set in the cavernous toilets in the basement of the Menzies building at Monash University. My star was a tall, skinny, gorgeous woman. I used to spy on her sitting in the front row of the Melbourne Cinematheque. By fate, she was also a Monash student, and we had met through a coalescence and of coincidences, the women's room, the student newspaper, and student theatre. Sitting ourselves by the staircase, outside the toilets, just before the shoot, I confessed to her, "I've never kissed anyone before." She didn't blink. "Really?" was all she said. And then we kissed. I closed my eyes, bent towards her, and felt her lips on my mouth. When I started to rush the kiss, she said, "Slow down," and guided me. Her lips left a waxy taste in my mouth. Coming out of the kiss, I was spinning, and the lenses of my eyeglasses had oil skin smudges on them. We rehearsed kissing a number of times before the actual take. It was bliss. Creativity and my personal growth have gone hand in hand. Thanks to my writing and performing, the big private turning points in my life have become very memorable public events. The year before my first kiss, I came out to my parents, my uncle, my grandmother, my brother, and a packed theatre. I was the under 25 winner of a prestigious inaugural short play competition. After the performance, my brother exclaimed, "That was so funny." Mum was gripping my arm so hard. My mother smiled tightly, but then beamed and told me she was very proud. My father rolled his eyes and asked, "Why so vulgar?" But I knew he too was proud of me. My uncle and grandmother congratulated me, and so did so many other people. The day had ended well. Writing and performance have been outlets. They have let me be myself, express myself, and explore my multiple identities: Asian woman, queer, lesbian, migrant, Chinese, Malaysian, Australian. And within the framework of performances, sides of me that were suppressed or ridiculed throughout my school years have been accepted and applauded.
Thanks for that wonderful reading, Leanne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.